I don't remember when it was exactly, because I was bad off sick COVID-wise, and this verse wouldn't get out of my head. And I mentioned it on a Wednesday night when we were live streaming the first part of Wednesday nights some time ago, and I just haven't been able to get past it. So I want to talk to you today about living on the level. Have you ever dealt with somebody that wasn't on the level? You know, and they had things falling out of both sides of their mouth, you know, and then the other words were dribbling down their chin. I just had a thought and I'm not going to use it. Some people have had that experience in church. Now I'm going to give you a funny one, so laugh when I say it, will you? But years ago, I was doing a wedding for a little girl she was 21 or whatever, but a young lady who had grown up in my youth group, gotten saved in my youth group way back when, and was marrying a young man out in some little town in Kansas, and I don't remember. There are a lot of little towns in Kansas, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which one it was. But it was out in the country someplace, and I found it. Luckily, it was before GPSs, so it was like, knock on the door of the guy, where is this place, you know, and they tell you. And I found the church. I'll never forget, I walked in the door, and I thought, oh, this is one of those places that if you drop a penny at the door, it ends up on the altar, because it was one of, like that. I mean, it wasn't gradual like this. It was, penny would roll all the way down on the wooden floor. And so I always told them what I always tell them. I said, you know, when we're doing a wedding, don't put the rings on the pillow that the little kid is carrying. Go to Michael's or one of those places and get little plastic rings that are gold colored and pin them to the, because you don't want the real. And then here I said the ring would roll all the way down to the front. Well, like so many, they didn't listen to me. That was the rehearsal. Came back for the wedding the next day. And doggone if the little kid, I don't know this because I see gold rings on a pillow. The ribbon came untied. And here comes the ring, not the bride, the ring, rolling all the way down. And at the very front, there was a furnace grate. The great furnace. And I'm looking, and I don't know whether to be alarmed or ticked off, because I said, don't do this. This is what will happen. And I have this really bad finger. You can't tell what it is, but it's like this from me playing football. And I made a tackle, saved a touchdown, but this guy's weight came down on my hand, and this part of my finger ended up down here. And I ran over to the sideline and said, huh? And the doctor goes, oh, and pulls it out. And then I said something else. Doctor, my eyes. Anyway. So I have this little hook, and this ring rolled down right between two of the squares, you know. And I went down and I was able to hook it with my finger and say something about the ring. We weren't quite ready to do that yet, but, you know, I did it and pulled it, and then I put it in my pocket. But we were not on level ground. And when you're not on level ground, you can't deal loosely with things or you're going to end up in trouble. This happened to be a furnace. Hot. And it was wintertime. It was hot. But I got no feeling much in this finger, so it didn't hurt. So what I'm saying is, sometimes we get into situations that we think are okay, but if you aren't on the level, or people that you're dealing with aren't on the level, rumbling, stumbling, bumbling, and it was really a miracle that we didn't lose that ring. It really was. I mean, like, oh my gosh. And I didn't. Usually I tell people, hey, don't worry, if anything happens during a wedding, I'll take care of it because I've got the mic on so I can fix it. I didn't know I was going to fix that. I really didn't. And we get ourselves in that situation sometimes. And I want to tell you that the world, the flesh, and the devil are here to get you get things out of level with you. So that, because he never deals on the level. He's deceitful, he's a liar to cheat, right? Right? And he greases the things that are supposed to be stable and makes the things that are supposed to be stable slick, right? So even in that beautiful setting, in this sacred thing, things were at risk because we weren't on level ground. And I want to tell you, because of the way the enemy sets the stage, you're not working on level ground if you only depend on what you see and feel and taste and touch. We're not condemned to live only by our senses. Okay? Psalm 26. That was all free. It's not in your notes. If you have notes, sorry. If you don't have notes, sorry about that too. Psalm 26. David wrote this. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. Any of you who know anything about David's story, you might wonder whether or not he could truthfully make that statement. We'll get to that. And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind, test my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. And I don't sit with deceitful men, nor do I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. Wow, pretty bold statements. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Man, don't you like that? I've prayed that verse a million times. Lord, I love the habitation of your house. See, some people get foolish and they just love his house. And that's not all bad. But we love his house because he inhabits his house. It's the presence that we're after, not just the bricks and the mortar. Nothing wrong with loving the bricks and the mortar, but it's because of his presence. And so David is saying, listen, I can't live amongst all these people doing all these things, these wicked, deceitful people, if I can't taste the power of your presence in this place where your glory dwells. And in that day, the habitation of his house was the temple, the tabernacle, okay? He says, verse 9, don't take my soul away with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. He says all these crazy things about all these wicked people and all these bad circumstances. And then he said, my foot stands on a level place. Wow. My foot stands on a level place in the congregation. I shall bless the Lord. So David's making some pretty remarkable statements here. And he's talking about a bunch of unseemly people, characters that are around him. And he's in this swirl of the world, the flesh and the devil. And yet he says, I still stand on a level place. So if David found level ground amongst all the evil characters and their lies and their threats, then we can claim that same level ground and live in it and give it away. The world is dying for somebody to live on the level. I said the world is dying to find somebody living on the level. And we need to have people that are on the level. We had Thanksgiving at my house this year. Hallelujah. Last year was when we found out Kathy had leukemia, so it was just a bad day. Not the best. Anyway, and we went around, talked one around the room. What are you thankful for? You know, that kind of thing. And one of my granddaughters said, boy, you know, this is great. I'm glad I can trust you guys and depend on you guys. She said, but, and this is a Latin word she used. She said, people suck. You can't depend on them. They say they believe in something and then they live like they don't. They're not trustworthy. They'll deceive you. They'll lie to you. And I said, and I said, and Jesus died for all of them, you know. But this nobody is on the level. Nobody is what they say, and does what they say. When I say nobody, that's not totally true. But you understand what I'm saying. The world's living on a different spin. It's a different orbit than the one we're in. Headed for a different planet too, if I can say it that way. But this idea of, I need somebody trustworthy. I need somebody dependable. It's crazy. Have you noticed any place you go, there's signs saying, does somebody want a job? Have you noticed that? We're hiring. We're hiring. A lot of the restaurants now are paying people the same day they come to work. Yeah, you work from 8 to 4, and we'll pay you at 4:15 just to get people to come. Now, that's not on the level, if you ask me. Wow, it seems to me most of the trouble was people finding a job. Now we're finding jobs trying to find people. That's a very strange commodity. I've never seen it like this. Why? Because people aren't thinking on the level. David says, let me read what he said in the Amplified Version, first three verses. He says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity." Now, integrity means soundness, wholeness. Not necessarily perfection, but soundness, fullness, wholeness. I am what I am. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, warts and all, Josh. He says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have expectantly trusted in, leaned on, and relied on the Lord without wavering, and I shall not slide. I shall not slide, yea, though I walk through the slippery slopes." Huh? They're out there, aren't they? And he said, "I'm not perfect, but my heart doesn't waver. Even when I mess up, I'm all in for you." Amen. That's David's integrity. Pretty bold statement, isn't it? Especially for a guy who, wow, did some of the big ones, right? But he's saying, you got to understand, I don't do it right all the time. But the intent of my heart is to never waver. I'm in. I'm all the way in, Lord, for you. Ah, that's on the level, isn't it? I mean, I'd rather not do anything ever wrong, but that's probably not going to happen. he said, I'm walking with you, and as far as I have anything to do with, I am not going to waver. So that's why he says, test me, try me, weigh me, check me out. He said he's not claiming to be sinless. He's just claiming to be in this 100% for the Lord. Right. He said, and even when I mess up, I never intend to. I don't want to. I'm for you. That's being sold out. And this is what the Lord says about David. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. After he had removed him, he raised up David, Saul was the one he removed, to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. See, that's unwavering. I've found a guy who is always after my heart, always manifesting my heart and always willing to do my will. That doesn't mean he always does his will, but always willing. Psalm 86, I know I say this a lot, but boy, if you want to get stuck on praying something from the Bible, this would not be a bad thing to get stuck on. Psalm 86, 11 and 12. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, and I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart and glorify your name forever. I need a united heart, and I'm not the united heart giver. I'm just the united heart recipient. Amen. He said, unite my heart. Lord, cause me to be whole. Cause me to be sound. Put me on level ground so that I can worship you with all my heart. And I don't know about you, but I've learned enough about me to know I don't always trust me. Some of the worst stuff I ever got in was trusting me. I say this all the time, but if you ever see the shirt, buy it for me, medium. Saw this guy in Branson, he had this shirt on. He said, all my good ideas get me in trouble. I just think that's the best. Isn't that just the best thing? That's the most honest shirt I think I've ever seen. And he was wearing an extra large or I'd have bought it off him. But So David is saying, here I am. I don't trust all my good ideas. I trust in you. Teach me your way, O Lord. Isn't that great? What is to say? I don't know it all yet. I haven't got it all figured. I thought I knew it up to this point. Now I don't know it all. Teach me your way and gather my heart. Unite my heart. Don't let me be so over here and over here and over here. Unite my heart. Right in here where you desire truth in the innermost being, I need you who are the truth to join my heart, to gather my heart so I can live truth, express truth, believe truth. I love Psalm 86. It's just a great way to pray. And it's an admission. I want it all. I don't have it all figured out yet. Well, I don't know there's any command to have it. Yea, verily, you shall have it all figured out. I don't think that's in there. I just don't. But he does. He's the great figure outer. Huh? And he knows how to do it exactly and put it together where, see, I have integrity. I'm wholehearted. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I know it all, but I'm wholehearted. And it takes the Lord uniting our hearts to give us the confidence to be able to say, I am wholeheartedly yours. Huh? And that's a progressive thing, right? So it requires relationship and connectivity and all those things that we're maybe not as good at as we would like to be. But probably better use this thing from 1 Kings 15. This is what it says, 1 Kings 15:5. David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that the Lord commanded him all the days of his life, except for the case of Uriah the Hittite. Big case, right? I mean, steals the guy's wife, has the guy killed, child out of wedlock, baby dies. Other than that, spotless. I mean, think about it. And we wouldn't let that guy be a, you know, sweep the parking lot. He did this, he did this, he did this. But the Lord said, he did everything but that. He messed this up so bad you can't I can't tell you how bad he messed it up. But here's his heart. I mean, you talk about an exception. Wow, except for this. Man, wouldn't you like to say, could I have one exception, please? So like that never happened. He didn't say it never happened. And there were incredible consequences from that happening in his family, through in Israel. But what the Bible says about David, after the fact, this is amazing. After the fact, he always had it in his heart to do my will. And you know, the revelation I had, I don't know, I just have to say it because I have to say it. But I was praying this one day, and it's not like I had never messed up. You know, you either, but I don't know everything you did. Please don't tell me. I know what I did, and I ain't telling you. But I was praying this one day, and I said, Lord, I want to know you this way. I want to be able to carry that forgiveness and give that kind of forgiveness away. Amen. And I said, I don't have it. I'm unite my heart. I don't have it all. And here's what I heard. Now, you don't have to say, I'm not saying this is the Bible. I'm saying this is what I wrote down in my journal, okay? But what I wrote down in my journal, Lord said, like this, I'm paraphrasing. But he said, you know, one of the names for my son that's cried out in heaven, and I can prove it to you, is Son of David. He said, and when Jesus is worshiped as the Son of David in heaven, David doesn't blush. I just shivered. I said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Amen. That was one of the most powerful things I ever heard. Because when he says it's finished, man, it's finished. Yeah. That is not a reason to go out and mess up. I guarantee you if David could be here, he'd say, don't do what I did. Amen. But know the God who forgives me the way he forgives me. Isn't that amazing? That's heresy. No, dude, that's grace. That's mercy. That's the compassion of the Lord. But can you imagine David knowing David, knowing what David did and what he failed to do? And when Jesus is worshiped as Son of David, he just bows down like everybody else. Wow, I'm sorry. That's for somebody. It may be somebody that's here. It may be somebody that's listening, but I'm telling you, God's forgiveness is way beyond, way beyond. And you see, it's not on the level. It's way up here. So he takes us there by placing his spirit in us, giving us his righteousness. People say, you say that all the time. I'm going to keep saying it. Because it's the truth. And it helps put us on that level ground. Y'all need to listen a little bit quicker. You seem to have this a very consistent problem. I'm trying to coach you through it. I'm going to read you what I wrote down here on this page to the outline. David asks to be tested and refined, not because his heart and mind are totally pure, but because they're precious, because they belong to God. He's sold out. And you got to get that. He said, I'm giving you my heart. Why? Because I've given myself to you, and it's precious to you because that's how you treat people. So David knows grace and mercy big time. The church was very young and couldn't pay me and stuff, I ran a carpet store. And we'd go out and look at people's homes, you know, measure them. I did a lot of that. And you'd have to float floors in some people's houses because they weren't level. So if you put vinyl or something down over the floor, you'd see the waves in it. And so you'd have people come in and float the floor, which is leveling compound, quick drying cement, stuff like that. That would level out the floor so when you put the new floor down, it looked that way. And I want to tell you, in the house of life that you live in, grace and mercy are the primary leveling compounds. Because when he puts the newness in you, it's not like this. It's like this. When the new life comes into us, that is the leveling agent. And he gets rid of the old and replaces it with the new. And there are no waves in it. Totally level. And I know people would just be remarkably pleased when they had that old floor and they came in. All I didn't do it because I'd have made it more unlevel. I'm not good at that stuff. But I sold the floor. And then the workmen came in and made it level. And people would rave about it. This is exactly how we want it. This is how it should have been. Bingo. Grace and mercy, the leveling compounds, they make it like it should be. And then you can walk on it. Straight and level. Let me read this to you. David is surrounded by deceitful people, worthless men, pretenders, men of falsehood and bloodshed, men of wicked schemes that used bribery and all sorts of sinful scenarios, a very crooked culture. He's in a slimy place where there are a lot of slick people and lots of slippery slopes. He is endangered and at risk. Sound familiar? And yet he says, I am on level ground. Doesn't matter about the slick people. Doesn't matter about slippery slopes. Doesn't matter about the slimy circumstances. I have found this place in God, and I'm in a level place, which means he and the Lord have got it straight, and he has it straight with other people too. I just think that's remarkable. Well, how did he get that? How did this happen? He says, I'm going to go before the altar. I'm going to wash my hands in innocence. What's innocent? The blood of Jesus. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus, walking in that, the reality of that makes me where I can worship him and I'm not ashamed of me. I'm just adoring him. You got to get over being ashamed of you. I meant like each of us has to get over being ashamed of us, right? Because if you don't, then you're saying, well, what I did is bigger than what he did. Uh-uh. No, what he did outmatched everything. There's no match for what he did. He is all mercy, all grace, all forgiveness. Now, he also is all righteousness and justice. See, it would not be level if he weren't right and just while he was being gracious and merciful, right? He can even level out the floor so mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. Right? Yeah. So I'm not saying he winks at sin. He doesn't. He just embraces sinners. Yeah. Thank God he does. I've got to say it. David says it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. In that day, there was only one place, right? Now, he comes to places like this. It's where two or three are gathered. And gathered means here, and people are watching online. Gathered, his presence is here. That's what he says. Then he manifests himself in different ways and helps people and touches people, has people say things that help people. I mean, that's what he does. But we too are the temple. He says, no, I love the place where your glory dwells, which is this inner man, this inner being, that this place where he says, I want truth in your innermost being. He says, I love it when I get to experience you in here like that. But he loves it in the corporate gathering. David's talking about the corporate gathering. It is good, they said to me, let us go and announce the Lord. Today is the day the Lord has made, right? Now, I know we've got all sorts of COVID and sickness and mandates and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, David says, one thing while I ask from the Lord, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to behold his beauty. The word is delightfulness. Yes. To behold the delightfulness of the Lord. And we need each other. Yes. And we need the corporate presence today. Like, not everybody could come today. The Lord still shows up. Because he says, I love the habitation of your house. See, that's a two-way thing. He loves the presence of God being there, and he loves the people who love the presence of God being together. We need each other, especially with all of the slimy circumstances and the slippery slopes and the slick people. We need the presence of the Lord together. I've made a big deal about it. I'll be quiet. But I really think that's an important thing. God's presence has the power to bring that equilibrium and give us the ability to stand in that level place, not overwhelmed or undermined by the epidemic of darkness that's around us. And there just seem to be fresh doses of epidemics of darkness all around us all the time, doesn't there? Wow. Yeah, it just doesn't. It's a crazy world. The inmates got the keys to the asylum, man. There's stuff people do that are just nuts. And you get mad, you get frustrated, you get, what? You've got to get vertical. You have to, because he's the only one who can keep us level in a time like that. And in the midst of all that, David says, I got level ground. I said, that's remarkable. I was actually laying in a hospital bed saying, I'm level, but I'm flat on my back, you know. David, in the midst of all that, found level ground. He wasn't slanted. He didn't hate people. He didn't quit loving God. Now, he cries out and said, oh, Lord, why would you beseech me? Why would you leave me alone? Why did you come? Why, you know? But he also says, but there's this one thing that I really want. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to see your beauty. I want to be connected with you in that right way, the way that you want me to be connected. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord. I'm sorry. This expectantly thing's really got to grab a hold of me. It really has. Because you can wait on him and you can wait for him, but if you wait expectantly, you're waiting before him. Amen. Expecting the goodness of God, expecting the reality of his power and his presence, expecting that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think, expecting him to be God's size, not my size. If you go through life with God your size, you're just going to be really disappointed. Heaven's going to blow your doors off, but, well, anyway. But God is God's size, not my size. And I think my size, right? I've tried to train this thing, but it mostly thinks my size. And the Lord wants us to think that he's his size. So I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined me and heard my cry. He drew me up out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay, froth and slime. Did you know the Bible said froth and slime? Way before there was that slime stuff. This is amplified, but he's saying, it's this crummy, lousy gets on me. Don't you ever feel slimed once in a while? Where you heard stuff, you saw stuff, you saw the way people valued things or refused to value things, and it just made you go, ugh. You need to go take a shower or something. He says, out of the miry clay, the froth and the slime, and you set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. That's a level place. And he's put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and fear and put their trust and confidence and reliance in the Lord. That's what happens when you get on the level place. Proverbs 10:9, this is amplified. He who walks uprightly walks securely. So it doesn't matter, you know, no thin ice. You don't have to, you walk securely. Why? Because he's got me in a level place. I don't know if you ever got this one before. 1 Samuel 2:9. He will guard the feet of his godly ones. How lovely are the feet that bring good news. Why? They've been guarded by the Lord. Level place. I think that's pretty cool. So he doesn't just talk about it. He performs it. He helps us. Puts us in place. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will. You are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Now, this is a real good practical way to pray. Well, I thought I had level ground. Well, you pray, and if you are, he'll keep you there. If not, he'll get you there. Lead me on level ground. Psalm 27. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain and even path because of my enemies, those who lie in wait for me. Don't you want to go home saying, oh, good, I got enemies that are lying in wait for me. Better to be wise than surprised. But he says, lead me, train me on a plain and even path. What's plain? I think plain means one I can understand. If I have to get too deeply theological, I might not understand it. But if I can say, I'm leveling the thing out. Grace and mercy before you. There's a place to stand. You can trust me, and I want people to be able to trust you. Stand in this level place. Walk on this level plane. Because see, if it's too ethereal, I can't walk it. Level and plane. He goes on to say in Psalm 27, verse 13, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? What would have become of me? I am afraid to figure that out. I don't know at what point I would have self-destructed, but somewhere along the way, right? I would be a likable, divorced, lonely son of a gun. That's what I would be. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yea, verily. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And wouldn't have known the Lord. I couldn't find the Lord with a search warrant. That's just because I was going totally other direction. Dave said, but what if I hadn't believed I'd see him in the nowness of my life? That's what he's saying. In the land of the living, while I'm still here fogging in the mirror, is what he's saying. He said, and I believe that I will see the goodness, the glory of the Lord in the land of the living while I'm still here. Yes. Boys and girls, where we're going, nobody needs to be saved, nobody needs to get healed, and nobody needs to be delivered. Right. All the things about being saved and being healed and being delivered have to happen here because they done happened already there. Yeah. Bad English, good theology. And David says, see, this is part of my level ground. I've beheld the beauty of the Lord. And I know what he's shown me. And I don't know everything, but I know he's got stuff planned for my life that has not yet come to pass. Yeah. See, that'll level you out. I told you, I had a guy come up to me one day in a pastor's meeting. He says, what's with you? And I go, oh, what do you mean? He says, you're different than those other guys. And I said, well, yeah, here we go. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, tell me what's different about you. I said, I know these guys. I've known these guys for a long time. They're all good guys. Love God. And he says, there's something else. And I said, okay, what? And he says, you tell me why you get up in the morning. I said, I get up because I've got a promise. I'm not quitting, I'm not crying, and I ain't dying. I got a promise. And he said, that's what I wanted you to say. That's what the Lord told me. You got promises. You get up because you've got promises. And I said, yeah. Now I've been getting up on those promises for a long time. I'm ready for them to come to fulfillment. But you got to keep getting up. Right? And so he says, what would have happened or become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage. Let your heart be stout and enduring. Not make it, let it be. Wait for and hope and expect the Lord. And then I wrote, you can see God's promised fulfillment in the land of the living from level ground. Oh, makes the level ground a little more appealing, doesn't it? I really think that's true. Psalm 28:9, last verse. The psalmist says, Lord, save your people, bless your heritage, nourish and shepherd them and carry them forever. The most level place in the world is when the Lord's carrying you. I wrote a little paragraph there. God's carrying power has the greatest leveling capacity ever. His powerful carrying presence brings us to a large place where we can all land safe and sound and where we can live and grow into that fullness of heart and mind that is our destiny. Well, that reads real good, but it lives out a whole lot better. And so I want to invite you to pray the way David prayed. Because he says, do whatever you need to do with me. I mean, seek me out. If I'm all messed up, you'll help me get unmessed up. If I'm in error, if I need correction, if I just need encouragement, you're the encourager, you're the comforter. If I'm sick, you're the doctor. Right? You're the leader. You said you'd lead me into all truth. So if I'm messing up and I haven't understood truth or I'm not standing for truth, teach me. Join my heart, unite my heart, put me on level ground. I don't want to be the cause of somebody slipping down the slippery slope. And I don't want to be, like P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute. I don't want to be somebody that falls for a deception that causes me to slip down the slippery slope. This is a universe of slippery slopes. And there are more opportunities, more enticements, more ways of messing up than maybe there ever have been. Certainly, they're easier to get in touch with and get a hold of than there ever was. Well, would you agree with me on that? David said, I'm living amongst all these guys. He goes through all these things, the wickedness, the deceitfulness, the liars, murderers, bloodthirsty people, people who cheat you, set up scenarios and shell games to take your values away, the things that are really precious, let alone your money. And he said, I'm in the midst of all of those. I wake up every day. I read it. I hear it. I see it. It's on my phone. And he said, but I'm standing on level ground. If I could give you anything for Christmas, it might be that you would have that level ground to stand on experientially. And it doesn't mean you don't slip and fall. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes, i.e. David. But he said, I'm not the mistake. I just made the mistake. You got to know that. Because in the culture in which we live, you might be marked as the mistake for the rest of your life. Not so in the kingdom. He says, come to the altar. Get cleansed. Get clean. Get straight with me. And if you're straight with me, life can be leveled out. And not only that, people that have been doing this for a long time, like some of us, we ought to be agents of leveling for other people's lives. We ought to be able to, you know, I'm not so sure that level ground isn't the 50,000 foot view where you have wisdom and you start seeing things better from God's point of view. Wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. And being able to see that means, oh, I don't know where to go, but I ain't going over there. Right. And you step away from it instead of towards it. Yeah. That's victory, isn't it? You know how many people could use somebody taking their hand and say, it's not over there, honey. That's right. It's over. it's over here. At least stand here. Stand here with me, and then we'll hear something. And when we hear something, we'll know the next step to take. You ever see people make wrong decisions and you can't think for them? Sometimes I told somebody that yesterday. If we could only just think for people once in a while, then they'd be messed up and have my way of thinking. That'd be disastrous. But don't you feel that sometimes? That there's a way of thinking that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. What is death? Separation. An ultimate separation from God. But you can have dead thinking where you separate yourself from goodness, from level ground, separate yourself from the will of God. And that just creates a whole mess. And then we get feeling so bad about, well, now I don't deserve it, God. You couldn't possibly be good to me now because I did this, this, and this. And then welcome to the merry-go-round of life. He'll just keep you on that sucker for the rest of your life. The enemy loves people feeling that way. He loves convicting you when you've been forgiven. Right? Because the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So he's got to mess with your head for you to get condemned. Because in reality, there can't be any condemnation. Jesus took it. So if you can get you thinking wrong, then you can condemn yourself. You can live in regret. I don't know what regret is, but regret is doing it over and over. Right? So I've never heard people use the word regret. Don't you live regret? No. I have regret. I do it over and over and over. I'm sorry, I think about words that way. But see, that's the enemy's plan. He wants you filled with regret so you'll never get past it. And you'll live the rest of your life trying to make up to God what he put on Jesus and washed away with his blood. Well, you're making light of sin. No, I'm not. I'm making light of light. If you live in the light, you're going to realize, oh, yeah, I don't deserve anything. But because I said yes to the Lord, I get to be in his family. Thank you. And he really does good by his kids. Isn't that what it says?
Yes,
that we've been given the right to become the children of God. Exercise your right as a child of God. No, see, he doesn't feel that way about me. He should, but he's better than that. And he's better than me, and Mr. Devil, he's better than you. So I'm not going to live by what you say or this filth that you throw around me. I'm going to live by what he says. See, that's level ground, isn't it? I was going to quit. I thought I did. I guess I didn't. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Here's David who, my goodness, lived an incredible life. And then messed up in an incredible way. And you say, he's still a man after your own heart, even though, because you know what grace and mercy are like. And Lord, you leveled it out for him so he could say, in the midst of his life being threatened, of all of the deceitfulness and treacherous things going on around him, he said, oh, but I stand on level ground. Lord, would you give us that grace and mercy that causes us to be on the level with you, to recognize that because of what Jesus did, we stand before you, not in that foamy, slimy, miry clay, but you said on a rock, on a solid place where there isn't that risk of falling because you're the one who holds us. Could we just do this for a second? Could you bow your head just for a second so I could just do this, pray over us this way? If you feel like you haven't been standing on level ground, would you just lift your hand up so I can pray for you? Because I want, oh, wow, yes. Yes, thank you. You can put them down now. Thank you. I thought that was probably true. I've been sitting on this for a while. Lord, come. I like those guys that would come in and level the floor. You have to rip off everything so you can see it. It gets down just to the floorboards. And they have to look at that, and then they say, here's what we'll do. Here's the solution. And they apply, in this case, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy until that floor is leveled out. And then you can cover us afresh. And I pray for that to be an experiential reality that would people would actually see there's no bows in the floor anymore. I'm not standing in a ditch. I'm not standing in this rut any longer. The Lord's love and mercy and grace levels out where I stand. Lord, I pray for that gift of a level place. So regardless of what happens in the world, David could say, I'm still on level ground. Lord, we pray for that incredible touch of forgiveness that comes when we've failed you and failed ourselves. We want to say, you say we're not failures. We have made failing decisions, but we're not failures. And I pray you would jerk that name, jerk that badge that says failure on it right off of people. I can't be a failure if I'm your son. I can fail, but I can't be a failure if I'm your child. Lord, radiate that in the hearts of people today. I think you're doing something right now. And Lord, I feel like this is important. I pray that you would take this Christmas season where the greatest gift that's ever been given is celebrated, and you would use it as maintenance in people's lives. Hearing the Christmas story, hearing the Christmas songs and hymns would solidify a place in them saying, yeah, and he really did it, and the wonder is he did it for me. Yeah. And Lord, in the craziness in which we live in this year, in this era, we want to say, thank you for placing us on solid ground. In Jesus' name, amen.